Someone gave me this analogy. It's like you want to get to the other side of the mountain, and you do it by scratching with your hands the dirt, the ground, the rock, and you're working yourself. You're like scraping your nails. You just want to get to the other side, and it's heavy and it's difficult. Well, actually, right next to you, there's a helicopter that can take you right to the other side of the mountain in 5 minutes. But because we're like, oh, I got to push harder, I got to work through, we're not standing back and thinking, let me look around where I am. What else is more effective way to get to my destination? So that was just a great way to be thinking, where's my helicopter?
Welcome to Wealthy and Aligned by Human Design, the podcast dedicated to helping you use human design in your business from the ground up. You have everything you need right now to start serving the world with immense value and get paid to do it. In this podcast, I teach you how. Now, let's get into the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. So today, I have the honor of introducing you all to Elena Dacus. She's a high-ticket sales and marketing and messaging expert and host of the Bossy Heels podcast. She is a serial entrepreneur, founder, and CEO with over 20 mergers and acquisitions experience. She knows what works and what doesn't when it comes to hitting those million-dollar paydays, and today we have the privilege of digging in a bit. I loved our conversation so much. Elena has built herself into her own success story and has truly found her purpose and passion, which you cannot doubt but hear and feel from her energy. We're going to go ahead and get right into it. Let's get into the episode. All right, everyone. We have an amazing guest here today. We have Elena Dacus. She is a high-ticket sales expert and marketing expert, host of the Bossy Heels podcast. Hello, Elena. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, hello. Such a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I really was excited to have you on the show because I feel your energy through your content. Like, I feel your passion for what you do. I feel your confidence around what you do. And after doing a little digging, I'm like, no wonder I feel this. It's just, you have this energy of, I don't want to say boss babe, because I feel like it's more deep than that, but you have this, like this powerful energy around how you run your business. So I'd love for you to start with how you got into entrepreneurship and how you became so confident and powerful around it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my background is a bit of a different story. For over 20 years, I have been buying and selling companies. I've bought and sold over 50 companies worth over $10 billion, and really anything from a small organization to one of the best companies in the world, and opened the leads to so many businesses, got to see what works, what doesn't, what sells, what doesn't, what part of their strategy, part of their team organization, part of their marketing really creates impacts, creates sales, and what is actually makes companies fail and what makes them succeed. And I was kind of collecting those as little gems across so many years and put that into my signature framework that now I've been working with coaches, experts, consultants to really help them create consistent cash flow in their business and really scale. So I think the confidence is a great question. Let's dive deeper into it. I'm certainly someone who wasn't brought up with a lot of confidence. I had a lot of limiting beliefs. People know my story. I was brought up in Siberian part of Russia during communism time. And I was certainly hasn't been given any privileges in life. I haven't given any kind of support. So there's been a journey. That's been a journey of really stepping into my own, really dismantling limiting beliefs. And yes, and it's been a really long process, and a journey. I think the confidence you're sensing in probably from that experience of going through a lot, traveling through many countries, and really now stepping into a place in life where I'm just so excited to do what I'm doing. I'm just so excited to support women. I'm just so excited. I just feel like I'm so deeply in my purpose, so deeply in my purpose and in my calling. And it's so much what I'm meant to do in this world, and how all my years of experience, years of challenges, years of things that were difficult, that now that everything makes sense. Everything in the past now suddenly makes sense. And I think this is where the kind of, you're probably sensing the confidence is coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I always know there's got to be a story behind what we're able to create in the world. When there are women doing big things in the world, there's always a story around how that came to be. And it's funny, isn't it, how you can always piece the puzzle pieces together when you look back on what you've gone through to get to where you are. What would you say was the thing that had you knowing you are totally on purpose?
Ooh, it's such a great question. I was certainly searching for many years. For many years, I was making very rich men a lot richer. And I remember working really hard. My team was working really hard, you know, especially after I had my first child. My son was just, you know, a few months old, and I was away from him. I was working really hard. And I remember doing this another deal. And this man who was already had so many private jets, he's now got this big additional paycheck. What am I going to have to do with this money? I'm going to have to buy another jet. And I remember this moment where I was like, my work is not meaningful. There's no point to this. Like, there must be more. And that was certainly a big moment of realization. Like, I think this is where my search and my quest has started. But the moment where I knew this is it is actually, it's a funny story. My son, they were having the kind of this week at school, and they were inviting parents to do a presentation for children. And they were only young. They were something like maybe 5 or 6 years old. It's preschool. And it was really interesting. I was like, yeah, I need to do this presentation in front of those children. And it was something I've never done before, you know, doing presentation at school for children. I'm not a teacher. It's not something I should be doing. And I remember getting this nudge. And then I went along and I prepared this amazing presentation. And it's all about kind of some research, entrepreneurship, how actually their unique gifts and their talents, they're uniquely attributing to them, will be the future gems that we now see, or maybe neglect as their key strength, will be the thing that will define them. And I remember doing this presentation. I remember seeing those little boys and girls' eyes, and they were looking at me as an inspiration. And it was like almost this feeling like, I'm meant to do this. I'm meant to be speaking. I'm meant to help people. I'm meant to support people with my message. I'm meant to help others, and I'm meant to be on stages, and I'm meant to use my voice. And that was kind of the starting point, although not relevant to the idea, but it was the point that I need to share my message to inspire others and to help other people.
Yeah, I love that. And the fact that you were able to like recognize, I actually have something that goes a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say had you starting to work with people in high ticket sales? This is a different part of the market that I don't know how you sense it, but I can sense a little controversy around high ticket sales, especially when it comes to women. My community is primarily women, and we have a few men that listen, but I do know it's primarily women. What took you into, I want to help women, and I'm sure you probably work with men, but with high ticket sales?
Yeah, it's certainly been a journey. I mean, my focus has always been supporting female entrepreneurs, really helping them scale their business and do it in a very powerful way. So certainly that's always been the focus. How can we create, and the bell, all of us women would come to me and they would say, Elaine, help me scale. I want to really grow my company. I want to create consistent cash flow. I want to take it to the next level. But I also, and there's always this but I have a family. But I'm looking after my parents, but I'm doing this work for church. But so there's always a constraint that when I find that women, they are very conflicted. They don't have a lot of time, but they're still very ambitious. But they also don't want to work many hours. They don't want a slave. They want a business that really supports them in a way that they can work when they want, with powerful structures, powerful systems, create a lot of impact, a lot of sales, a lot of help other people, make sure that their work reaches more people. But at the same time, they don't want to be burnt out. They don't want to be slaving and working away 24/7. And that became a really interesting question I started asking, to say, actually, the question I started asking is, what is the most effective way for women to do that? And the reason why high ticket sales is such a powerful instrument, really, as an offer process, is really a math equation. So for some people, it just depends on the size of your audience. I work with a lot of influencers, and they don't have to have high ticket offers. They can create impact by selling low ticket. But the beauty of high ticket, and it's not necessarily the price. The beauty of high ticket is really the type of clients you get to work with. It's really all about the type of clients. So high ticket clients, what we've seen is they're more committed clients. They're more committed to their transformation. They're more committed to their own results. And we all kind of sense this, you know, depending on what area of life you're focused on. If you're growing a business, maybe you're just starting out and you're trying free things, maybe something for free. You're still not committed to your business. You kind of, you know, you're experimenting. You may be dabbling. You're thinking, well, is this idea of maybe coaching business, is this good? Maybe Amazon sales is better. Or maybe I should do something else. You're in experimentation stage. The next step will be, well, let me pay for something a little bit more. Maybe spend $50, $100. I'm still experimenting. I'm still not committed fully. But what happens is when the client comes in and they are fully in, this is it. This is my life. This is my family's life. This is my destiny. And it's going to work. There's no doubt it's going to work. I'm deeply in it. I'm deeply committed. And what happens is high ticket is just a reflection of that commitment. That means they are ready to spend more to get the level of support they need in order to get the results they want in the time frame they desire.
Yeah.
That's true for business. It's also true for relationships or their health. Think about it. When someone's kind of have an idea of losing weight, they're like, well, let me just watch this show. Let me look at this ad. Let me look at this magazine. The idea of a diet, well, that's interesting. But they're not changing anything in their life yet.
Right.
It gets to a stage where they're, no, this is happening. And that's happening in 3 months. I am losing weight. I'm getting to my best shape. And I'm not messing. I'm committed. And it's happening in 30 days or 90 days. And what do? They commit first, and then they get a coach. They buy expensive gym membership. They do everything it takes to make sure they get the results they want. So high ticket is nothing to do with actual money. It's more about with the clients you work with, the level of commitment they have. And the beautiful thing about it, of course, when you work with that level of committed clients, well, guess what? They're going to have great results. People are going to have, and you're going to have amazing experience working with them because they're all in. They're taking every word, they're getting every advice, and they're taking immediate action. So it becomes a really beautiful experience. And that's what I mean by high ticket. It's more about working with higher commitment level of clients and serving them at the highest level.
Yeah, it really does go full circle. Because I love that you brought up that phase that we've all been there, where you're like, I'm going to go down this funnel and get this freebie and download this ebook. And it's like, it makes you feel like you're doing something about the thing that you want, but really, you know, you lose the ebook in your inbox, you get the course and you never watch it. It's like, that really doesn't move the needle. And so it comes down to, how serious am I about getting this thing that I want in my life sooner rather than later? It really does come to that. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's just how we operate. When we pay attention. And the more we pay, the more we pay attention. And the more we're invested in our outcome. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, hugely so. Hugely so. I remember, it was interesting. I remember with when my friends needed help, and I was like, I couldn't charge them money. I was like, you're my friend. I can't. And I remember there was two companies. I was advising one company who was his competitor, and I was advising him. He didn't pay a penny. The other competitor paid a lot of money. So as a result of this advice, he implemented nothing.
Yep.
He implemented nothing because it was free. He wasn't valuing it. Although the advice and the was very similar, but the company that actually paid the money got huge results and really had the most successful exit and 10x their business. And I remember he was looking back and thinking, yeah, I wish I paid you the money because I would take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And it is energy. Ultimately, I know when I invest in myself, I don't even necessarily even invest in a program or mastermind or a coaching. I invest in myself. It's like my stake in the ground. So it's, you're doing it in yourself.
Yes.
So for someone listening, thinking, I don't know how to charge higher pricing. I think you have to just detach yourself, your own self-worth, and allow your client and people experience that. Let them invest in themselves powerfully. Because ultimately, I know from my experience, when I invest, I don't invest in other people, I invest in myself. Like, that's a joyful process to know this is happening.
I love that you put it that way, because that is the truth. Like, you're not investing in the mastermind. You're investing in yourself for the experience of the mastermind. Like, you said that beautifully. When do you feel like it's time for women to start considering going high ticket? Is it just that they're starting to feel burnt out? When would you advise someone to really start thinking about going into the high ticket business model?
Yeah, I think it just depends, right? I think every business should have high ticket offers inside their office suite. I think I suggest for everyone to do that. Obviously, it depends what people do, what niches, what areas, but certainly in every business, there should be high ticket offers inside their business, whether it's consultancy, whether it's masterminds, whether it's group coaching programs, or high ticket courses. There's so many different options, but I think in every business, there needs to be high ticket offers. So even if someone, maybe some of my clients, they run a low ticket membership, for example, very low ticket membership, and it's working well, but they're kind of like, you know, they're, you know, an introduction of a more high ticket offer, more premium experience, more intimate experience. What it's going to do is going to up level. It's going to give them a different level of service to the particular clients. So certainly in every business, whether you're just starting out or whether you already have a long history and establishment, there's a place for high ticket offers always.
Always. I totally agree with that. Totally agree. I mean, I feel like that's how we should start.
I couldn't agree more.
I mean, let's just start high ticket. What would you call high ticket?
Well, I think it just depends, right? But I think anyone we consider anything around over $3,000 would be considered high ticket.
Right. Right.
Plus, you know, the sky is the limit. For that, the sky is the limit. And it's also, it's also about the value and what the valuable problem you solve. If the best way to think about, would you buy a $100 bill for $50? You would, right? It would be like, no problem. Of course you would. Like, so I think that's the thinking around your offers. Would you pay $50,000 for a $100,000 product? $100,000? Of course you would. If I said, you know what, I have this most incredible, luxurious, brand new Ferrari, and it's worth $150,000. And I have to get rid of it. My husband hates it. I bought it and I just got to shift it. There's no space in my garage. And if you drive it tomorrow, I'll give it to you for $70,000. You know, most people, if they're looking to buy that car, they'll be like, that's a great deal. They're going to buy it. If I were to say, $50,000, they'll be like, yeah, that's an amazing deal because I can sell it for $150,000. So it really becomes into the equation. Price itself doesn't matter. The value matters.
Yes.
And the value could be, a marriage, getting the most amazing intimate relationship and a marriage of your lifetime and have this incredible, find a romantic partner. That might be the most valuable thing in the world where people actually, this is where I want, because this is my happiness. And this becomes, so it doesn't have to be money related issue. It could be in every aspect of their life. We just have to position it properly and articulate in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, totally agree. Value is it. We're paying high ticket. We're paying really for anything to save us time and save us money.
And shortcut the journey. Mm-hmm. Shortcut the journey. So depending on where, this is not just really, of course, it's very clearly we can see it in business. The return on investment is so obvious in business because we can say, well, you either do this by yourself and you probably can. I don't know. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. There's a guesswork in it, but it will take you maybe 5 years. You have to trial and error. You have to investigate. You have to see if it works. I don't know if it's going to work. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of iteration, or you can pay a consultant. You can pay an expert and then they're going to give you a proven model and you're going to get results in 3-6 months time from now.
Right.
And that's, that becomes, for some people who is really ready and indeed committed to see the results, they're like, well, that's no brainer. I don't want to waste 3 years. I don't want to get 3 years older without this and maybe get a result, maybe not. I'd rather invest in myself, get the skills. And this is why it's investment in ourselves, because we get the skills that stay with us for life.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I love the most about this industry is that if you invest in equities or invest in bonds or shares, it could be a good investment, but they go up and down. The beautiful thing when you invest in yourself, and I certainly know for myself, I'm always a better person at the end of that experience. I would have learned the skills. I would have learned, met new people. I would have learned from the expert, and I would grasp what they've learned. I've soaked that in. And for many experts that I work with, you know, they spent 20 years honing their craft. Like 20, you know, stuff that I do, it took me 20 years to unravel it. So it's not something you can learn in a day. And you don't want to waste your own 20 years doing something, especially if it's not your zone of genius as well. Another aspect of it, if you're a parenting expert or if you are, you know, you need to really tap into expertise of other people who spent 1,000 hours obsessing about this one thing. So you don't have to.
Right. Yeah. So when you're working with your clients, what are the mistakes that you're seeing when it comes to moving into high ticket sales? I'm briefly interrupting the show to direct your attention to something we've been working on behind the scenes. Our private communities are the best part of our work over here, and we've got something you won't want to miss coming down the pipeline. Head to the link in the show notes to get on the wait list for our grand opening of the Alignment Academy, a community dedicated to serve everyone looking to take human design, the gene keys, and alignment to the next level. Now, I can't say much more than this, so you'll want to make sure you join the waitlist at the link in the show notes to stay in the know today. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Well, one of the key mistakes we see a lot of outstanding experts, coaches, and consultants make is, especially when they grow in their business, you know, they're doing a lot of visibility work. So maybe they're posting on social media consistently, certainly at least 3 to 5 times a week. They're showing up on stories, they're doing speaking engagement, they're even running funnels, they're running ads. And they're certainly very diligent with sending emails to their email list, and they're doing a lot of work. But actually, what we've seen is they struggle to predict how much cash flow they're going to make in the next 3 to 6 months. So their cash flow in their business is very unpredictable. And also, if we look back in the last 6 to 9 months, the cash flow was like a roller coaster. 1 month was good, then there is a gap. Then maybe one good month, then there is a gap. So there's a bit of unpredictability. And of course, what that creates a bit of uncertainty in their business in terms of, well, I'm not sure how much money I can invest in the business. You know, can I recruit a full-time team? Can I, you know, buy an office, rent an office? So we want to introduce a certain level of consistent cash flow in the business. So that's number one. And what this kind of creates is this invisible expert trap, where people doing a lot of work, but actually they see not a lot of a return on their effort. Not a lot of return on the effort, especially when we look at a lot of experts, they spend probably 70 to 80% of their time on social media. That takes a huge chunk of their day. That takes a huge chunk of their energy. But actually, when we look at the return on effort, it's actually very minimal. So, and what happens is, you know, one of the things that we always introduce in my clients' businesses is having this signature presentation, you know, getting them to actually speak on stages. Is really powerful because it condenses that shortcuts, that time of that people take to become warm leads, to kind of nurture people to get to feel your energy. So speaking is really powerful. Speaking on stages is really powerful. And certainly as many of those things is incredibly powerful through signature presentation. One of the things that I teach and I implement actually in all of my clients' businesses where we create it for them is the signature presentation. And this is a very different experience because one of the mistakes people make, they think, well, how can I add more value to my people? They think, well, I want to be super helpful. I want to be super valuable. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to teach my stuff, my best stuff for free. And I'm going to teach them best, and I'm going to, because I feel like if I did that, they would be really impressed with what a great expert I am. And they want to buy more.
Yes.
But of course, what happens in reality, it has the opposite effect. When women or men, they do this masterclasses, they do that launch presentations, they do that inside of their evergreen funnels, the sales process, they do that. But the audience is like, wow, I feel so overwhelmed. I feel so confused. You just bombarded me with so much information, which I wasn't ready to receive. I wasn't inviting it either.
Right, right.
You just showered me with this. And first of all, my to-do list, I've made so many notes. My to-do list has exploded. So I need to just go away for a year or so, hide somewhere so I can complete it and come back. So they're, oh, I'm confused. And what they're not doing, they're certainly not buying anything.
Right.
And this is where we see where launches fail, evergreen funnels don't perform. And this is, if you think about the launches, or you know, this is kind of evergreen, if people are not familiar, this is more just in, let's say you have an automated masterclass or automated webinar running. The reason why it's not converting is most 9 out of 10 you're overteaching, you're bombarding with people information. And think about encyclopedia is never on a bestseller list. You know, information doesn't sell. You know, if you look at the best TED Talks that people love to watch and we share, we give to other people, the best-selling books that we pass on to our friends, they actually never share information. They don't teach. They don't show how to do stuff. They're actually a lot deeper than that. They give people transformational insights.
Mm-hmm.
They give us this like, wow, I have never thought about it this way. Wow, that just blew my mind. They give us a different way of looking at the problem. And the most powerful of those presentations, they give us the different way of looking at the problem, but they also give us, they help us make a decision to commit to solve it. That's the most powerful thing you can do and the most helpful thing you can do for your clients. Like in this situation, if you're a weight loss coach, you know, there's no point you bombarding people with, this is the best diet plan. This is how you should lose weight. You should do this. You should do this step. No, person is not committed to their journey yet. The most helpful thing you can do is help them commit, help them make a decision and take them through what the most effective path to their result would be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually more about aha moments. Think about TED-style talks, persuasive communication. It's more about a best-selling book is your signature talk and infusing that in all your messaging. And then sales become effortless because what you're able to do this way, you're able to give people this like, wow, that just blew my mind. You don't just do that. You also create automatic demand at the same time for your offers. So it's all very intentional. All none of it is an accident. Every story you say and should really speak in your content and your speaking engagement should always be connected to your offer. Everything should make sense. Everything should link up. And when it becomes this beautiful story of coherency, people ask to buy. You know, one of the things we track with our clients is when people ask to buy, they start sending them DMs, start sending them emails after presentation saying, I don't know what you've got as offers going on, but I want to work with you. Oh, tell me what you have going on in the business. This is how it works. When people know after they heard you speak, they will email you. You know, one of my clients that did a presentation 2 weeks ago, she got 17 emails in her inbox and she wasn't selling, wasn't pitching anything inside her masterclass. 17 emails saying, right, I just loved it. This just blew my mind. That's exactly what I need. I've been searching for something like this. This is exactly what I need. Tell me how. How can we work together? What is it going to look like? And what a beautiful different experience altogether. You don't have to push. You don't have to sell. Here's my banana. Come and grab it. Buy it. People will just love what you talked about that resonates with me the most. It gives me so much clarity. Tell me what you have going on.
Yeah.
That's the power.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're bringing up that people are coming to you and in your DMs and in your inbox, because that's literally how I teach the energy of sales in my programs. Is you don't have to force anyone to buy anything. There's this energy I feel like, I want to be very general here, and I know this isn't for everybody. There feels like there's this resistance to sales with women. And the way you're describing it is like, if women could find this natural, persuasive way of communicating their story, then they could be a walking billboard for their offers.
Yeah, it's so true. This is the biggest barrier women have. Women do not want to be salesy. Women come into this business because they don't want to do this kind of a pitching. They don't want to be cold spamming people in the DMs. They don't want to do that. They're here to share their gifts. They're here in their purpose to help other people. And this is exactly what it's about. You don't have to be sales. You don't have to be have cookie cutter salesy webinars or masterclasses. It's absolutely not necessary. In fact, it will hurt your business. What we've seen is much better if we can, and one of the messaging systems I teach and we integrate is a 7-step process. So there's a 7 steps that a person needs to go through before they've just discovered you're a stranger to becoming a buyer. And it's very intentional and it has to be managed. If one of the few steps is missing, well, you're going to have gaps. You're going to have leaks in the process. People will fall away. They kind of got interested and then they fall off. So if you know them and you really discover your message, so it's not just a story. Story is part of it, but it's actually your messaging ecosystem. What your business is about. What you need to talk to really move people to be like, yeah, this is my thing. Like, you know, keto diet is my thing. It's exactly what I need to do. Like human design and, you know, gene keys is exactly what I need to do. This is my exact next step to get to where I need to be. Mm-hmm. So it's actually given us, and something that's so deeply, when we integrate it with people's core beliefs as the business owner, so it's very authentic. What happens is their messaging becomes like, it's so easy to be passionate about something you're genuinely passionate about. And when everything makes sense and coherent and your offers are at the back of it, it becomes a really beautiful experience. There is no selling. You don't have to do selling. It's just you speak from the heart and it's on point. It's on message. You're always on brand and it's directly connected to your offer. And the offer becomes, well, obviously you're selling this. It makes perfect sense that you're doing this. Like there's no ambiguity. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's really, so it's really a messaging ecosystem. So if someone's listening and they don't know what to post online, they don't know what to say in their emails this week. If they get an invitation to speak on stage and they're like, wow, I don't know what I'm going to say. That just says one thing. You need to do deeper messaging work. My clients, when they get an invitation, they're like, yeah, let's do it. We can do it tomorrow. Like, because they've got that figure out, you wake them up during the middle of the night, they'll be able to tell you everything and give also great presentation that's powerful, that people love, that's full of value, that's full of aha moments that they feel good about.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That I've heard it said, like, you're one presentation away from a sold out brand.
Huge. It's the most, and this is why when you asked me earlier, why focus on this? Actually, this was the question. The question was for me, I was the same thing. For me, it was the same thing. I have kids, I have a busy life. My women are exactly the same. They don't want to work endless hours. What if we would just ignore everything and we just ignore the noise, because there's 1,000 things you could be doing, but actually it's 20% of stuff that actually going to give you a result. So when my clients were asking me, right, what is that? I don't have time for 10 things. What is one thing that I need to do and implement my business that's going to give me results that I want, that I can just focus on? That's going to be the most impactful, the most important. Everything else is kind of nice if I have time. And this is why I said is you have to have this signature presentation. You have to have this messaging ecosystem, because you have this. You can do it as a podcast talk. You can do it on your stages. You can do it during your launches. We can create automated funnels and it runs with it. You craft all your emails from it. Every podcast, every post on social media comes from it. It's all done. And the best thing about it, think about best companies in the world, Chanel, Amazon, Apple, they're always on message. Like, we know what Chanel stands for. It's luxurious, amazing experience, amazing gift, kind of products. So if, imagine Chanel was like, well, tomorrow we're doing furniture and it's like cheap, low cost furniture. Next day we're doing delivery. It'd be very confusing, right? It'd be like, guys, you don't know what you're doing. You're kind of about nothing. So there is power in actually being about that one thing, about this one message, one presentation, and everything coherent and integrated. And that really came from that question that my clients were asking, saying, Elena, what's the most important? I know I might need to do many things, but what if, like, if I could just focus on one thing, what it is? And that was it.
Yeah. Well, where would someone start? Because we have an amazing story. Like, my family and my story and my husband's story and our whole dynamic has always been like, every coach is like, you have got to get this story out. So if someone's listening and they're like, yeah, I have a great story, but how does that tie to my offer? Where would you empower somebody to start?
Yeah, obviously we need to know more, but yes, I think the key thing is we need to make sure the story you share, there's so many stories you could be sharing and they all can be different purpose. So again, if you have more time and you just want to share, you know, stories are really powerful things. So one story, the intent, you always need to be clear on the intention of it. One story you might want to share, the only intention of it is just to build more trust and connection with your audience. Nothing else. We just want them to know more of you, who you are, where you're back, and just get closer because they might have something they resonate with. And that might be the intention of it. Another story you want to say is your kind of epiphany moment when you've discovered what you do, you know, the human design, the gene keys for you, but for anyone else listening, when it was more like the parenting, when they got this aha moment to wanting to become a better mother. For someone who's like discovered this, you know, makeup kit, this moment of a light bulb moment where they're like, wow, this is it. And we all have it. It's like, oh, this is it. This is good. Oh, this is gonna work. Oh, this is fantastic. So bring us into that moment, because if you're selling makeup kits now, that would be the story to share, especially if you don't have a lot of time. So when you don't have a lot of time and you're really just there on stage for 45 minutes and you want to build the connection, but you also want to tell the story that's going to be relevant to the makeup stuff you're selling, let's make sure it's connected. I've seen lots of stories where, you know, people will be on stages and it's a lawyer's presentation, selling a consultancy for lawyers. And then the story that someone is sharing is more, you know, because someone told them vulnerable story and they shared a vulnerable moment where, you know, in a compromising position that actually can diminish the brand of the NOF, because vulnerability is powerful, but it just needs to be used in the right way.
I've often heard too that we don't want to be telling stories from an open wound that's like scabbed. We want to be telling our stories and really coming into our brands from the things that have healed, their scars. They're not,
absolutely,
you know, so we're not filleted open and super vulnerable in those ways. And I think that's so powerful, because if we can, as women, own our, I'm going to say it, ability to sell through presentations and our story, then sales doesn't feel like anything other than I'm getting up and doing the thing I love to do, talk about my story.
Exactly. Absolutely. And it should feel like that. It's really persuasive communication. It's a skill. There's nothing awkward about it. It's just when you have the tools, it's like swimming. When we know how to swim, going in the swimming pool, going in the ocean is fun. It's enjoyable. We've got the skill. So if someone's thinking, oh, I'm afraid of selling, I'm uncomfortable with it, I'm uncomfortable to talk about my offers, I'm uncomfortable to share what I do, that just means you need to develop a skill. That's all. And it's not no difficult than first time when we never swam before. The water was scary, it was awkward, it was uncomfortable. You wasn't sure whether you're going to be able to swim one length in a pool. But eventually it was like, well, it's fun, it's easy. This is the same thing. It really is the same thing.
So you recently did a podcast about unleashing business growth by prioritizing what matters most. And we are huge over here on sticking with as much as we can, like depending on the stage in your business. Like some of us have teams and some of us don't, but really sticking to the zone of genius in your brand so that you can stay in this, what I call like this higher frequency visionary energy. And really, that is what sells for us. But would you go into a little bit of what you mean by prioritizing what matters?
Yeah, it's really is key, actually. It's a really important thing. And it will vary for different people, but certainly doing a review over the last 6 months, you know, doing journaling and doing a review and thinking about, right, what has really worked? Well, a couple of questions are really important to answer. Look back in the last year and where are you spending most of your time? So someone listening, they can kind of journal where they're spending majority of their time and where they're seeing the results. And it's always a great thing to do, because the Pareto effect of 80-20 works all the time. There will be 20% of activity that's giving you 80% of results. The hardest thing about this is understanding what that 20% is. And maybe you're in the place in the business where you haven't discovered that yet. That's fine. So that is the key question. What has really worked? What you did that was fun, that was exciting, that set your soul on fire, but also gave you some great results and 10x your results. And really focusing on that.
Yeah. And I really, my experience has been a lot of us really want the result, but we're not willing to sit down and really evaluate how we're getting the results that we have, whether we like the results or not. What is producing the results, and what do we want to release and let go of? And what do we want to lean in and double down on?
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. It's so true. This is so powerful. Yeah. And just evaluate what's working. What's draining your energy is also another great thing, is to say, actually, this is, I do this and I'm pushing hard for it, but it's draining my energy. But there's a lot of business. I think I talk a lot about this employee mindset versus CEO mindset, you know, especially people who worked in a corporate or worked for others. You know, how do we get a promotion as an employee? We have to outwork everyone else. We have to be the hardest worker. We have to really push. We have to demonstrate that we're always ready to take on extra responsibilities. Well, the problem is that so many women and men, they bring this employee mentality into their business. I think the way I'm going to achieve more is I'm going to push more. I'm going to outwork everyone else. But of course, when you CEO and run your business, the question you need to be asking is the opposite. The question is, how can I work less and be more effective?
Amen.
How can I work less and be more effective? That's not, you want to be retiring yourself as a CEO, as a bottleneck, as quickly as possible. That's the aim of the game. And this is actually thinking differently, because if you bring employee mindset into the business, well, guess what? It's so easy to outwork you. People can just hire 5 extra people and they've outworked you. So the question is, how can I work less, make less moves, but be more effective? That's the number one question. And I encourage everyone to be asking that a lot.
I love that. And I think that ties in beautifully to human design and energy types. Like, I can't tell you how many people, and I know you're familiar a little bit with human design, but I can't tell you how many non-sacral beings, so like projectors, manifestors, reflectors, who come to me and they want to continue working hard because somehow, and I mean, I get it, we've all been conditioned, but literally it feels like if I don't work and hustle and do the thing that needs to be done, if I'm not the one making all the posts, if I'm not the one writing all the captions, then I won't see or deserve the reward on the other side of that. The reward meaning success, business, money, you know, whatever, recognition. So it's so powerful to reframe those little like mindset shifts. What would you say were some of the major mindset shifts that you had to make to get to this? Like I say, you have this real confident and powerful energy about yourself, but what were the mindset shifts that got you to this point?
Yeah, so many things, but one of the mindset key shifts, and this is what you've talked about, and it's really connected to human design, which I love human design so much, is when you are stuck in the employee mindset, in this business, like I have to hustle, I have to work. Someone gave me this analogy. It's like you want to get to the other side of the mountain, and you do it by scratching with your hands the dirt, the ground, the rock, and you're working yourself. You're like scraping your nails. You just want to get to the other side, and it's heavy and it's difficult. Well, actually, right next to you, there's a helicopter that can take you right to the other side of the mountain in 5 minutes. But because we're like, oh, I gotta push harder, I gotta work through, we're not standing back and thinking, let me look around where I am. What else is more effective way to get to my destination? So that was just a great way to be thinking, where's my helicopter?
Right.
I always actually think one of my big mindset things as a me, I always ask myself a question. If I have a goal, I will always 10x that goal. Okay, this is a goal. How can it 10x? And I shorten the time frame. So it's actually a great mental exercise. So let's say, you know, could work with anything. Let's say you have a $1 million goal in your business with, okay, how can I make it 10 million in next year? So you want to achieve it in 12 months. What would it take for you to achieve 10 million in the next 6 months?
Wow.
So what happened, right?
Yeah, that's a mind bender.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. So, yeah. But look how interesting now it gets. We are starting thinking, okay, well, you got to do it and it's possible and it's available. Let's think, you're going to make 10 million next 6 months. What would it take? So you now start thinking differently, start looking for the helicopter, because you know, scratching your hands through the rock is not going to get you there.
Yeah.
So actually, these kind of conversations and these kind of questions is the power. This is where the quantum shifts lie. And right. It's always not going to be, well, if I just work harder or just do more of the same what I'm doing. No, it will not get you there. It's all about who. It's all about new opportunities, different way of thinking.
Yep.
So I'm really big on that, actually. I am really big on thinking very big. I'm a very big thinker. Like, and I always, someone told me very early on in my life, is that if people are not laughing at your goals and ambitions, they're too small.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Like, if people are not laughing at where you want to get to, you're aiming too small.
Yeah.
And this is important. And people may be listening. There might be resistance to be like, oh, what if I aim high, but I don't meet it? What does it mean? My mindset and the way I think, and certainly the way I work with my clients, is no, we're going to aim really high. We're going to ask really ridiculously big questions. And we're going to think about your business. And even when we build strategy, we don't think about how do we make 10% more. No, we think about 10x in your business in 6 months, and we build a strategy based on that. But then guess what's going to happen? When you aim that high, you could have been here and maybe a little bit more if you just made an incremental improvement, maybe 10, 20%. But if we aim high, guess what? Your progress is going to get 10 times more. But the important thing here is when we measure success, we don't measure ourselves. And I certainly don't measure myself against my most ambitious goal, because that'd be demotivating. It's like,
ooh, yeah.
And this is important because if I'm in the middle of the mountain, imagine I've been climbing this mountain for 5 months and it's been heavy, it's been fun at times, but it's been tough. And if I'm like taking a stop and I'm thinking, wow, I'm in this business, I've been climbing this mountain. And if I start looking at the top of the mountain and I have a very ambitious mountain to climb and I look upwards, how am I going to feel? I'm going to feel demotivated. I'm going to feel like, oh my word, there's so much to go. This is ridiculous. Like, I'm so far away from that. But actually, if I were to say, no, let's look at my progress. Let's look at where I've started. I was at the bottom of this mountain 6 months ago. And look how far I got to. Yeah. Because I'm climbing the highest mountain in the village, no one else is climbing this mountain. I'm way higher than anyone else in my remit. And yeah. I feel excited. I feel energized because I'm tracking and measuring my progress versus where I was, or the business was, or my family was a month ago, 6 months ago, how much I have grown. And that's the motivation to keep going.
That's such a good reminder. I don't think enough of us do that, really, where we look at where we were when we started and how far we've come. I love that reminder. It's so important.
And this is when women are thinking about confidence. If someone's listening right now, they're thinking, I wish I was more confident. I wish I was more bold. I wish I was more visible. I wish I had the guts to just go on stages and deliver my message. I wish I was more confident. I would encourage you to have a look in the last 10 years. Look back 10 years ago from where you are right now and actually write down in your journal all the things that you've overcome, achieved, how far you got to, how much smarter you are, how much more aware you are, how much more expansion you have had, and be wowed by it.
Yeah.
And base your confidence on that.
Yes.
Because that is empowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope everyone replays this and listens to that part again, because it is so true. It's so true. I'd love to ask you this question. I don't know how deep you've gone with human design, but I know you're a sacral manifesting generator. I know you know about human design and decisions and energy and universal, all of that stuff. How has using human design worked in your business? Have you dabbled in that yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's more places to go there. I'm always on the journey of seeking more, searching more. How do I use it? It certainly gave me a lot of permission to be me.
Yeah.
When I first time I had a human design reading, I was like, I finally feel seen. Someone sees me for who I am, and what I have a permission not having to change or like resent what I'm about. And someone just gave me permission to say that's actually my strength.
Right.
Like, it was incredible. I think actually it's also gave me a power to move deeper into what I was doing, because obviously doing a lot of speaking, my voice is really important chakra for me, and it really shows up in my design that I need to be using my voice. And it was like, I always felt it, you know, this is like doing more speaking, teaching about speaking, helping other women develop their voices, their presence. And that just gave me a validation, like, wow, I'm on the right path. Like, I feel it. I know it. I know deep in my heart. I know I'm more most alive when I'm speaking, when I'm in front of people. It just gave me another layer of confirmation that the voice is so important. It's kind of things I was uncertain on the edge and I wasn't sure. And I had questions. It just confirmed the deep knowing that was really deep inside of me.
Yeah. I mean, I can feel it from you that you are in work that is deeply purposeful to you. And I think a lot of women, when they go into like big visions for themselves, big dreams for themselves, they wonder like, I mean, who am I to have this big vision to be, you know, in front of people speaking? Who am I to be going into coaching or whatever it is? Like, who am I? But this chart just kind of opens that door for you. Like, who are you not to? And then you heed the call, step in, and it's palpable to feel the purpose that you carry in everything that you do, Elena. It's been amazing to get to connect with you in person.
Just one more thing to say in terms of mindset and the thinking. I think another thing that was really important to me, and I know maybe some women listening will resonate with this, for a lot of women, when they ask themselves, who am I? It actually comes down to what would others think.
Yeah.
And when we actually drill down, who are those others? I ask those questions to so many women I work with or interact with. Say, well, who's others? No, but when they go, well, it's others. Well, who is others? Like, if you have to name others, who would that be? Well, it's actually my cousin, my ex-husband. It's actually my mom. It's always two or three people who's on Facebook or somewhere else connected with you, who you're afraid of their judgment.
Yeah.
And I was the same, but I was remember this moment came to me and said, imagine I'm 80 years old and I didn't go after what I wanted. I didn't go after my dreams, didn't go after the biggest nudges inside of me that I knew they were bigger, they needed to be fulfilled. And when I'm 80, and the reason I didn't do it because I was afraid what Susan would say, oh my word, I would not allow this to happen.
Yeah.
So that was such a big, and I bring this back all the time. I was like, what would my 80-year-old version say about this? What would she advise me to do?
Yeah. For Susan, who's not going to pay you, who doesn't really care, is more worried about what she's got going on.
She doesn't even care because everyone, and this is another thing. We all think other people think about us, but everyone just thinks about themselves and what others think that people think about them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my work as a registered nurse, I worked with a lot of people who were at the end of their life. And I remember after years of working with people who were dying, the biggest thing they said was, I wish I would have. I wish I would have. And what can you do at the end of your life, right? It's over. You know, it's over. And just to see like the looks on their families' faces and the regret that they were leaving this earth with, I just knew like, I'm never leaving this earth with regret. Like, I'm going all in and I am leaving nothing on the table. And that's been truly the hugest motivating factor for me. And I think that's how I can empower others is literally I've seen at the end of your life, you will wish you would have.
Absolutely. That's so powerful right there. Powerful right there.
Yeah.
Never regret things you did. You'll be regretting things you didn't.
Yep. Live it to your fullest. Go all in. Leave nothing behind. Yeah. Oh, amen. Elena, I really enjoy talking to you. Two
wonderful
MGs going at it over here. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about how everyone can get in contact with you and anything you have going on for everyone to go dig in and just soak up all the deliciousness that you are.
Amazing. Well, a couple of places, certainly connect with me on Instagram at Boise Hills Club. I'd love to hear any breakthroughs, any insights that you got from this episode. I have a podcast as well, which of course your interview will be there. So go and check it out, Boise Hills. And also my masterclass. If you are curious about, wow, this sounds fun. I wonder how would this signature presentation work for me? I wonder how would this be structured? How can I be more visible? How can I speak my message to more people in a way that's not sales and not pitching, go and check out my masterclass. I dive deeper into it. It's really valuable. It changed a lot of people's lives and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So I'm sure we'll leave some links in the show notes and you can always find it in the link in bio on my Instagram. But it's been a pleasure to be here today. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely put all those links in the show notes. I want everyone to go check out Elena. She's got powerful work in the world. And really it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I was manifesting you because I was thinking, I want someone who has similar kind of powerful energy as me to kind of speak about these things that I feel so passionate about, but you know how it is. It's hearing it from someone else just would really hit someone in a different way, you know? So thank you for being here.
And I love the work that you do. I think it's so important, and it's so powerful. I know it's changed my life to understand this more about myself. And I know it'll change so many other women's lives.
Yeah. It's an honor to do the work we do, right?
Absolute honor.
Thank you for listening. I want to invite you, if you haven't already, to go follow me on Instagram. We've been pouring insane value over there and want to make sure you are getting your daily dose of wealth energy. Find me at the Danielle Eyman, or just click the link in the show notes to keep your feed wealthy and aligned. I will see you next week.